The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
Tonight on RTE 1, it's the final instalment of Growing Up Live, and it's live from Trinity College, and it will feature this evening Micheál Amirhertig, and he's with us in studio here. Good afternoon, Micheál.
Good afternoon.
And Professor Luke O'Neill. Good afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon, right.
Luke's book, which I'm working my way through, is Humanology. And you have a chapter on ageing.
I do.
You've been chatting away to Micheál. What have you discussed in
not
the last half hour?
Not about age.
No, not about age.
Don't think we mentioned age.
Right. This man has given me energy. Just talking to him for 15 minutes, I feel fully alive now. You know, so he's got the secret, whatever it is for longevity.
From Philadelphia, especially I flew in.
Especially, but Micheál might have the secret of eternal youth, you see.
You don't mind us sharing your age with the listeners, do you, Micheál?
88. Just 88. Well, age never worried me.
Did you never think about it at all?
Not think about it, and I never considered at any said that I was old or near being old. It all washed off me.
What about birthdays? What about turning 50, turning 60, turning 70, turning 80? No?
They were ordinary days.
Right.
That's the way I treated them. You know?
That's the secret, yeah. Ray, by the way. Don't care about it, you see, because anxiety makes you age at twice the rate, you see. So that's the secret.
As you mentioned, birthdays, they were never big in West Kerry anyway.
Yeah.
And a lot of people weren't sure of their birthdays.
They didn't know their age yet.
And especially people that went to America. And you'd hear from time to time that such a person had written home for his age.
Oh, that's right.
And it's to the church they'd go. And if you could get the date the person was baptised, it'd be near enough to their age.
Yes, yes.
Because people were baptised in a hurry that time. So they'd just maybe to get social security or something. But you had to declare an age and have some proof for it. But they wouldn't be sure of it and they wouldn't worry about it either.
Yeah. So, Luke Micheál. Micheál is older than the average age.
He certainly is.
Which is around
exactly.
81 for men.
At the moment, it's 81 for men. 79 for men, actually. 81 for women. Women always live a little bit longer.
Okay.
Is the average age at the moment in
and
Ireland.
And as, like, in the next 100 years, life expectancy is going to go up.
It's staggering.
Is it staggering?
With every year that goes by, people will live 3 months longer, if you can see what I mean by that.
Right.
So someone born today will live to be 100. There's a really good chance that a child born today will live to the age of 100, probably. And what that means is society will change massively then, because obviously lots of people live into lots of telegrams will be written by the president to all these people.
Yes. They'll have to reassess that, won't they?
So this is the case. I mean, longevity is a reality for humans now. We're going to live into this massive old age.
And why is that?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. Better living. So lifestyles have changed. You know, like in the old days, I don't know about Kerry men, Micheál, but they were smoking their heads off. You know, that's very bad.
You smoked a bit. You told me the last time. I was shocked to hear that.
I did until I read an article that they were bad for your
health. What age were you? Can you remember?
I'd say when I gave them up, I was in my 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was smoking from a very young age. We were all smoking going to school.
Yes. Yeah. There was standard thing.
It was considered to be good for your health. Kept weight down.
Yeah, GPs used to prescribe cigarettes.
Did they? But
shockingly in the 50s. Yeah. To help a cough. This kind of nonsense. Yeah. You know, and then they were hanging a minute. Isn't quite so good.
That is shocking.
Isn't it shocking?
And cigarettes were a normal present to give for Christmas. You know, fancy. Yeah. Box and all around
So one reason is better lifestyle and then medicines. People are on statins, for example. Now, statins prevent heart attack, and heart attack is a massive cause of death. They will prolong life, so new medicines have come along. So it's a combination of lifestyle change and new medicines, really.
Progress in medicine.
Absolutely.
Principally
that's the big reason, I think, we think.
I suppose quality of life is another thing. Living is one thing, but having a quality of life is a different thing completely, isn't it?
The big question, I mean, the oldest woman ever was a woman in France, Jeanne Calme. She 122 years of age, and she smoked, interestingly, a couple of cigarettes every day. They looked at her DNA, get this, Ray, and she was very good at fixing the damage that smoke was causing in her body. So some people smoke their heads off and live to a ripe old age. They've studied those people, and they're very good at repairing damage. Others can't repair it, and then they might get cancer, you see.
So there's a genetic element to longevity.
There is indeed.
Is that in your family, Micheál? Well, is there longevity in your family?
Possibly. Now, my father lived to be 87.
Well, there you have it.
He had a sister that lived to be 94.
Oh, well, there you
are. Now we're talking.
And there was one of the previous generation. She was known as Mommy Lynch. She married next door. They believe she was over 100.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is the evidence. Yes. We need your DNA, Micheál. I'm going to do an experiment on you if this continues.
So the combination of clean living and good genes.
He's got it all going on. Yeah. This is the answer.
And a bit of luck. And I think not to worry.
Yeah, that's a key one.
To be looking forward, and I often mention it, and I think I might have mentioned to you before, a little bit of a prayer to, I think, to my grandmother brought it. She came from the depth of the Gaeltacht to what was called a Brach Gaeltacht, outside the limits. And it was just, I'll give you two lines of, Urni amunug im lan of them fain, dushuk le duruk le bracha an lay. Something she was taught when she was a child. To get up every morning with enthusiasm for the day ahead.
Yeah.
Be looking forward to something. Mightn't be the day ahead, the week ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
The attitude.
Make a T-shirt with
that
on it, right?
It's fascinating you say that, because they have this very crude thing, and you mentioned in your book, the death clock, where you can go and calculate very crudely when you will die.
You can.
They ask you only six questions. Now, some of them, date of birth, obviously. BMI, obviously. Are you a smoker, obviously? Sort of how much you drink. Yeah. But the one that is interesting to me is, they ask you to describe whether you're an optimist, a pessimist, or
that's
neutral.
It, right, exactly. Mm. Yeah. And the optimists live longer.
Do they?
Oh, they do indeed. See, if you're a pessimist and you're anxious and worrying, that puts pressure on your body.
Yeah.
And your immune system doesn't work as well, interestingly. And you get more prone to infections and it escalates then. And that will shorten your life. There's no question. So an optimistic outlook is a key feature. And a great study was done in a place in Italy called Acaroli, where they all live to be 90. Now, they've studied these people to death, as I say. They've been prodded and poked. Can you imagine? but one of the big things is a positive disposition. They have a laugh.
Yeah.
They like music, is a big thing in that village, you know, and all that kind of thing. So there's no question.
And there's exercise built into their daily lives.
There is. It's a hilly place, and they're walking up and down hills all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the third is what you eat is very, very important. The right kind of diet. And the Mediterranean diet, it's called, by the way. Lots of olive oil, nuts, interestingly. Right. In these. And they eat rosemary. Strangely, they eat
fish.
Oily fish is another protector against aging.
And rosemary. I've heard of rosemary over and over again.
This village, they eat loads of rosemary, right? And then scientists have purified the active ingredient from rosemary. It's called carnosic acid. I know it's a bit of a mouthful. That will slow down aging in mice. If you give that to mice as an experiment, the mice age more slowly. So that's doing something in your body. You know?
You've always been active, not sporty as such, but active.
Oh, active.
Yes.
Well, we grew up being active, living on a farm. You'd be up early in the morning. Somebody had to go to bring the horse, to bring the milk to the creamery. Others had to go to bring the cows in. Somebody else had to light the fire. And then when all that had been done and the cows milked, we walked or ran the 3 miles to school, and took shortcuts through fields.
And then
three miles back, but we were glad of that.
Yeah.
And one of the surest signs that summer had arrived, the moment you sensed that summer had arrived, you threw off the boots or shoes. And it might happen coming home from school. And they'd be left off then, that was the tradition.
Barefoot then, wouldn't
you'd be better off barefoot until you'd feed the little cold of winter coming. Cowl Mavroga.
It's an idyllic existence, isn't it? What about young people?
That was the way, coming from all directions, and people that were very well off would, they'd follow the custom.
I think you're going to have loads of chats. Luke has a theory, it's not his own, it's somebody else's, that we have a limited number of heartbeats in our life.
Absolutely.
What's the science to back this
up? They've counted them in all these animals. So a human being, 2.2 billion is the number roughly, and that's it. Then your number's up, if you like, you know. So, and mice, it's 1 billion. They've counted all these heartbeats.
You say flippantly about that. Is that the reason you don't exercise?
Absolutely. I've decided not to exercise because your heart rate goes up and you're using up more heartbeats. You see,
you shouldn't say stuff like that on the radio. That's very irresponsible.
Oh, no, that was a joke. But the truth is, if you exercise, you have less heartbeats when you're resting. Do you know that?
Yes, when you're resting.
So you probably win in that regard.
I don't know how you're going to feel about this, Luke, but the only other person I've heard quote that is...
Who?
Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
He says he doesn't exercise because he'll use up his heartbeats.
You've ruined my life, right? We're crying.
Right, on a serious one, inflammaging.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, one of the big questions is, why do we age? That's the question that scientists ask. What is aging anyway? You know, now some animals don't age much. The hydra, a tiny creature at sea, lives to be 1,500 years old. Why is that? You know, now it looks as you get older, your body gets more and more worn out, basically, and you get this inflammatory process. Your joints don't work work quite so well, and arthritis is more common as you age. So it's called inflammaging. So there's no question as you get older, there's more inflammation in your body. We're not quite sure why that is, but that's the fact. So anti-inflammatories will slow down aging, amazingly. And some of the new medicines that are out there that slow down aging are stopping inflammation in your tissues. And it's an obvious thing in a sense. But why the inflammation is happening is not clear. It could be that we can't repair the damage as we get older. Our body wears out gradually.
Is it possible that these generations now who are born and live to 100, that they're going to be, everything's always in a transition, but in a state of flux, but that they might benefit staying alive longer, but their quality of life may not be?
That's the worry.
That has to catch up on that, doesn't it?
That's the worry. I mean, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are devastating diseases. They're linked into ageing. Obviously, older people get them. And that's because inflammation in the brain now is overactive, you see. So we need to be able to treat those diseases. The hope is you could live to be 122 and not get these diseases. That's the dream, really, in a sense. You know, and that's what all the research is about.
I suppose who wants to live to 122?
The attitudes have definitely changed. And you'll notice that more in sports people than anything. I remember the time when players would retire, meet them 3 years later, they'd begun out of shape.
Yes.
Meet them now 5 years later, they still talk about being conscious of my fitness. You know, it's a good thing.
It's a positive thing, isn't it?
It's a positive thing.
Yeah. We interviewed Peter Stringer the other day. He played until he was 40. He only retired this summer.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Which is amazing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a worry though, if you're over 40 and you overdo the exercise, it's bad for you. Because again, you're generating all these byproducts from metabolism and it's damaging you and your body can't handle them, you know. So the recommendation is don't overdo it. Everything in moderation, as usual.
Yeah. Do you feel good in yourself, Micheál?
Well, I feel good in myself. And I don't worry about it. I don't think about it.
You don't, right?
I still think that I'm Gwilme Ogfos.
I know Micheál's secret. He's had 5 children, lots of exercise when he was a young man.
You have eight grandchildren now, and 13 grandchildren.
And I'm off tomorrow to Germany to meet 3 of them there.
Right.
On Friday.
And they rejuvenate you, mate. I imagine if you meet the grandchildren.
Oh, they do.
It's a wonderful thing. Yes,
they do.
Do you sleep?
I think it helped.
What about your sleep?
I was a while teaching.
Oh, yeah.
And you're in the company of young people.
Yes.
They're thinking young.
Yeah.
And I think it helps you to stay.
And you're still heavily involved in the GAA. You go to matches and all that.
So that's
a young man's game. Yeah. What was the question I asked there before?
This has been happening for the last hour, me and Micheál. We go off on these tangents.
Is it 2 billion?
That's right. Ray's heartbeat's gone up there now and he's losing.
So your children, so tonight it's Growing Up Live. It's on RTE1 at 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Will you be subjecting Micheál to any experiments?
Yes.
We
have our lab rat now, you see. Right. We're going to be poking him and prodding him and just testing all this, you see. Right. Is he really 88? Yeah. We can test that, you see. So it may be questionable, but he's going to be fully participating. It's going to be marvellous.
I knew people now, there's cure, 3 brothers, they're cured for back problems. The patient would be put lying on a bed, all lights out. They'd climb quietly up on the rafters and one of them would land suddenly down on top of the bed. And the question would be, on Rahantu A&E, or it used to be there, Ghana, did you feel anything? And if you saw near Rahas A&E, the second fellow would arrive. And you'd say then, Brahim.
Yeah. Did you hear
but what... they had cures.
Yes.
And their theory was that if you damage your spine or something, a disc, it's something bad that caused that.
Yes, and you can correct
something
it.
Similar will correct
it. Correct it, yes.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Did you hear about this guy last week in Denmark? Emil was his first name. He's 69 and he went to court in Arnhem because he wanted his age changed to 49 because his doctor told him he had the body of a 49-year-old.
Isn't that ridiculous? I've never heard the like of it.
Yeah.
Right, that's some scam, isn't it?
No, but is there something about your sort of biological age, I suppose, your
Well, administration
age. If he didn't have to do it, if he just imagined he was 49 and leave it at that.
Well, I think it didn't work on Tinder.
You see, Micheál thinks he's 15 years of age. Anyway, we all think we're younger than we are, right? When you look at yourself in the mirror, you go, who the hell's that guy? Yeah. I think I'm 21. You know, it's that perception. But his body, they reckon his body hadn't aged quite so quickly, and yet his mind was telling him, and he wanted to get that corrected kind of thing, you know. Yeah. And there is some truth in it.
But Deirdre Robertson was sitting where you were sitting yesterday, and she said, because they've done research to Tilda in Trinity College about thinking as you're getting old and all of those things. And it's not a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it does change your behaviour.
Absolutely.
In a negative way.
Yeah. But again, it's positive thinking again.
So that's why, Micheál, the mental side of it.
Lady doctors are very involved in it. Kenny.
That's right, Roseanne Kenny, my colleague. Yeah, she leads to.
Her father was on the last Mayo teams to win All Ireland.
See, that's the kind of fact he knows.
Dr. Billy Kenny.
Every name I've mentioned to him, that was his grandfather, was on the Mayo hurling team, whatever it might be.
That was a unique team. They had six doctors.
Did they really?
Six doctors.
And by the way,
I remember talking to one of those doctors. They were the last ones to win, weren't they?
Paddy Carney. Yeah, they were. Yes.
Yeah, but here's an example.
Paddy lives down in
Joko Gilvary.
Down in Kerry,
Mickey Flanagan. Billy Kenny.
This man will never get Alzheimer's because his brain is full of all these facts. And it's marvellous, you know, because there's all this data, you see, and you need that. You need that to keep the brain agile.
A couple of questions for you, Luke. Do genetics and telomeres not determine your longevity plus lifestyle choices?
Well, that's a great question. Now, these telomeres are in your DNA and they shorten with every cell, they get slightly shorter. Yeah, genetics is a big part of it. There's no question, as with Micheál, runs in families, you know. And the question is, if your genetics is predetermined that you're going to die young, can lifestyle modify that or not? And we don't know. Your best bet is to have a good lifestyle anyway, and that might give you a chance.
It's like, I know this sounds morbid and all that, but I'd like to die healthy.
Absolutely. That's right. Or suddenly.
Would you ask Micheál, did he ever take the ghost trains to Croke Park? Martin Farr, Micheál, Sean Wexford.
They were gone in my time.
What were the ghost trains?
Ghost train, they left maybe at midnight. Turf, I think, was the main power generating the heat.
Before a big match.
Yeah, they'd leave at midnight and the dawn of the day they'd arrive in and they'd walk to Croke Park. That was the ghost train, and Sigurdsson Clifford, the poet, he wrote a lot about them, the ghost train.
Never heard of them, yeah.
And even the tradition, the late Con Houlihan lived in Dublin. Occasionally he'd go down to Kerry to come up for the All Ireland. It wasn't proper unless he came on a train. Well, the ghost train is gone, but they ran through the night. At times the trains weren't running and people thought it was a ghost. They were That's where the name came.
And I nursed a man.
Starting in Dingle and starting in Cahasaveen, all into Tralee and Board, the real ghost one day.
Yeah. I nursed a man from Kerry, says Bridie. He died at the age of 104 and he told me he gave up cigarettes at 80.
There you have it.
There are always exceptions.
Yes, exactly.
To the rule.
Precisely.
Can play a good game of golf to great sportsman Eddie McCormack? That's you. Do you play golf? No, you don't.
I play at it, I do. And I'll have a game in Germany.
Right. Well, listen, tonight, I'm looking forward to tonight now to see what experiments you subject poor Micheál to. It's on RTE1, live from Trinity College. Professor Luke O'Neill, thanks very much. Nice to meet you. Micheál, always good to see you.
Good.
Quick commercial break. The Radar.